Oh, she came to the Tuesday class. Oh, this one is quite interesting. Okay, Padmasuri, your friend, what is his name? Oh, your husband, oh, ex-boyfriend, yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Tiu. T-U. Oh, Tiu. Oh, very good, very easy to remember. Meditate before? You meditate before? Oh, very good. Means you understand the Buddhist meditation. Yeah, good, good. So easier. Huh? No need to explain too much. Okay. I think the rest all here before. Huh? Except Napoleon's friend. Huh? Mr. Ao. Yeah, you meditate before, I presume. Huh? Not really. Oh. You didn't even go for any retreat? Oh, okay. Just that fellowship, huh? Their fellowship and all things. Yeah, good. But you never been to a retreat or whether any meditation class or whatever? What about metta, loving kindness? Seldom. Okay, no problem. Maybe I make use of the time, 4 minutes or that, to explain a little bit to those who are new. One of them is Padmasuri's ex-boyfriend, Mr. Teo. Actually, he was her husband. So she pulled a trick on me, which is good. You can still joke after so many years of marriage, means not bad. Then we have another brother here, Brother Ao, here in front from Penang. He's Polian's friend. So anyway, just to brief you all, what we do here is we call it the Vipassana meditation. It is a Buddhist term. Vipassana is a Pali word. It consists of two parts. We, representing the three characteristics of nature. Then pasana is to insight into these three characteristics of nature. So basically this meditation is to develop this type of wisdom through training the mind to have this ability to be aware or mindful. Then through this silent mind that is heedful and mindful, you can actually insight into all of characteristics within nature. According to the Buddha, these universal characteristics is common to all phenomena. You know what is phenomena, isn't it? Anything that your mind can perceive is a phenomena. Can understand that? Anything that your mind can perceive is a phenomena. So your mind can perceive your physical body, okay? All the activity and movement. So we have physical phenomena. Then your mind can perceive your mental movement, your mental activity, your thinking, planning, scheming. Then all of your feeling, perception, consciousness, volition, content of consciousness, and everything that happens inside the mind. So this is what phenomena is all about. So when you perceive that, it becomes mental phenomena. Then we have our senses, our five physical senses to help us together with the mind. We can arise what they call nature's phenomena. We can perceive the world, the universe, nature through our senses. You can perceive color and shape and form through all this seeing consciousness, then you can perceive all of the vibration, music, sound, noises within this world or this universe through your hearing consciousness. Then we can also perceive all of the odor that we can smell, all of the food that we can taste, and all of tactile that our body can feel. Then all of feeling is here. Come in. We haven't started, don't worry. So these three types of phenomena covers all of phenomena. And according to the Buddha, they have these universal characteristics of impermanent. If you hold and you cling, suffering will be the result. And because they are impermanent, they are conditioned arising cause of phenomena. So it's ever changing. That's why it's in a state of flux, impermanent. And it's not something that you can hold on to eternally and say, this is me, this is I. And there is no such thing as a permanent and changing entity that remains eternally the same. So that part is anatta. Anatta meaning very deep. It has one aspect, people call non-self. The other aspect is empty nature, not a permanent and changing entity. And that one is what Buddhism calls sunyata or emptiness. So this meditation is very simple. Just to develop this type of wisdom. But do not underestimate this wisdom. This wisdom is very penetrative. The moment you insight into all this, you clearly understand who you are, and what this phenomenal world is all about. How creation come about. How your form and mind actually interact with the world. And how you can connect to your true mind, true nature, and understand the whole lot, the universe. That is the power of this meditation. So a lot of people didn't understand. They thought, you meditate to become enlightened, then free from suffering. Which is quite accurate though. But for those who really understand, you can go much, much beyond. You can develop the understanding to truly understand life and live life beautifully. Okay, we can start now. Already exceed 8:30. So, as usual, you compose your mind, silent your mind, then develop the very strong faith in the Buddha, in his teaching. Then you pay respect mindfully to the Buddha. There's a image, Buddha Rupang in front. So you recall to mind, because this is just an image, it's not the Buddha. The Buddha is the embodiment of all his perfection, his wisdom and virtue. So you have to use this image to recall to mind the great qualities of Lord Buddha, his great wisdom, love, compassion, and virtue. Then with that, you develop the very strong faith. Then you pay reverential salutation. Means out of respect and gratitude for him, through knowing how special he is. He's the fully enlightened one. Not only enlightened, but complete, perfect in enlightenment. And because of this, you can say, at the time, 2000 years ago when he arrived, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to arise. And he can teach anybody, even the gods, the devas. He is a teacher of man and God. And he got these 9 great qualities that make him very special and very unique. So if you have that understanding, your faith in him will be unshakable. Then your sadha, which is one of the very important spiritual faculty. Sadha is a Pali word. So in English, the translation is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. When you develop this very strong faith, your own confidence will go up. So you also become very confident of yourself. Means you can stand alone. You don't need anything else. accept this understanding of the teaching that the Buddha has taught you. And if you cultivate it and able to develop it and realize it, you don't need anything to hold on to live in this world. You will have all knowing, knowledge and understanding. Okay, now we compose our mind. Then we pay respect and start our puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami, Panatipata Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami, Adinadana Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami, Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami, Musawada Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami, Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami, Sadhu Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So tonight, since there are one or two new ones, I will give instruction again for those who need instruction to learn how to meditate or train the mind. Okay, before I really go into the meditation instruction, I just summarize so that those who already know how to meditate, you can refresh yourself. Then for those who are new, you have to try to listen attentively so that you learn as you listen. The important essential dhammas are all written on the whiteboard here and some up there. So we are here to develop a type of meditation that we call vipassana meditation. As we all know, vipassana means we stand for the three characteristics of nature. Passana is to insight into the three characteristics. And these three characteristics of nature, which the Buddha realized, are very important to enable us to develop a type of wisdom that is very penetrative, so that we can truly understand what is this form of mind all about. who are we, what are we, and what our nature is all about, and how you can develop great understanding of all the laws that governs life and existence just through this type of meditation. So some translate it as insight meditation, INSIGHT, not INSIDE. Insight means you develop a certain amount of wisdom or insight into the characteristics of nature, so that insight knowledges or wisdom can be realized. So basically, it is a very important aspect of the Buddha's teaching. In fact, if you do that, that is what you need to do in order to become awakened, or what they call enlightened, so that you are no longer deluded, you are no longer heedless, so that your life can actually change. Otherwise, most living beings, before they understand this teaching, they suffer a lot. They entangle themselves with life. So we are here to develop the understanding of life, and through this meditation, we can develop them. Okay, that is the initial aspect. So what we do here is, we break the meditation into two sessions. First session is instruction to meditate, including explaining how to develop and understand this meditation. Then after that, we will have about 15 to 20 minutes of silent meditation. Then we will have the second part. Normally 1 hour later, I will ring the bell. So for those who still wants to continue the meditation, you find it conducive, you can continue. You don't have to worry. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out from the meditation. Then during the second session, it is a reporting session. You can report your meditation, and at the same time, ask me questions related to meditation, the teaching, and how you can apply this teaching and the meditation that you have developed here to understand life and to overcome all of your problems of life. So basically, these are the things we do over these 2 hours. Now, coming back to the first part, we need to understand, why are we not peaceful? The Buddha said, the first thing about meditation is to train the mind to be peaceful, to be aware, to be silent, so that you are not heedless, so that there is clarity. And according to Lord Buddha, he said, living beings, they are not able to have this calm and peaceful mind, or what he called inner awareness, the silent mind. It's because of this mental hindrance. There are 5 very powerful mental hindrance that hinders human beings and living beings from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. So they are laid out on the whiteboard. You look at the top left hand corner. 5 mental hindrance. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. So these are the 5 things that constantly arise in you, whether you are aware or not. That's another matter. And most living beings don't understand what these 5 these 5 hindrances are. So because of that, they become heedless without understanding why they are heedless. But as Buddhists, we are very fortunate, because Lord Buddha had this great understanding, so he explained to us. He said, as a human being, we have a mind trapped inside this body, physical form. And because it's trapped inside, it can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you tactile feel and think. And that's how you function as a human being. So the 5 physical senses together with the mind, develop the condition for you to become a conscious human being. Yeah. So through all this consciousness that you arise, the Buddha said, you constantly react to them. Because when you are conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think, living being has this habitual tendency, born of their wrong view and sakayadity, to react. That's why he said, you constantly develop the first two hindrances, which is sensual desire and ill will. If you like that sense experience, you cling on to it, you hold on to it, you want it repeated. You want to have it more. If you don't like, you develop anger, aversion, dislike for the thing. So these two hindrances constantly arise and pass away throughout the day, whenever you arise a consciousness. So if you lack awareness and understanding, this habitual tendency will continue until it becomes a habit. And when it becomes a habit, means what? It's like automatic. Means throughout the day, you think a lot, you react, you become emotional, and you become heedless. And that's how you get into trouble. That's how you become not peaceful. Yeah. So the heedless mind that constantly reacts is preoccupied with all of the emotion and movement that you stir your mind to arise. So when this constantly happens until it becomes a habitual tendency, it's very difficult for you to like suddenly want to be silent or quiet or want to meditate. So that's why the hindrances are so powerful. And the other hindrance that cause you a lot of problem is the fourth one. The Buddha call it restlessness of mind. Is it your mind is most of the time not peaceful because it has a lot of restlessness, agitation. And the reason is because you have problems in life. You have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, unresolved matter. So whenever there is fear, worry, anxiety, and unhappiness, your mind becomes restless, agitated. So, like you know, the restless mind, agitated mind is not peaceful, not calm, there's no clarity, there's a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and all these are negative states, negative energy states, and they can actually cause you to be very, very negative. And because of that, your immune system can also come down. Because it will lead to all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, sadness, misery. So all these negative states develops what they call negative energy and is a great hindrance. So you find it very difficult to meditate. Then the last one is doubt. When you don't understand, you're doubtful, you lack confidence in what you do because you are not sure, you don't understand the truth, the reason behind how things arise and why things are like that. So when there is doubt, your mind lack faith, lack confidence, is very weak. Yeah. It's just like going for exam. When you don't have confidence in yourself, and you don't have confidence in doing well or passing the exam, you tend to fail or you will not do well. The other one, the last one, is sloth and torpor, sleepiness. The Buddha said when you don't have this understanding of the importance of doing whatever you want to do, like meditation and all those things, you will have this problem of sleepiness, and this is also a hindrance. So these five, he said, you have to recognize them, but you don't have to fight them to overcome them, he said. You only know that they are there to hinder your mind from becoming heedless. Hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. What you need to cultivate is the opposite five, he said, spiritual faculties. He said, first is the faith, confidence in the Buddha's teaching, which we just did. Then second one, true understanding who he is, how wonderful his teaching is, and how special he is. You develop the spiritual zeal or virya to cultivate his teaching. So once this is developed, your cultivation will move. So your cultivation actually center on one thing, the Buddha said. Just train your mind to be mindful. Then use it to meditate, leading to heedfulness. That training of the mind to be mindful in sati is what we will do here. The meditation, skillful means, will allow you to train your mind. So now, I will move into the instruction to meditate so that you can quickly go in. I will off the light so that those who know how to meditate, you can straight away meditate. Then for those who are new and who need instruction, you just listen attentively. Then you follow the instruction and develop the meditation. First, you just relax body and mind. Completely relax. And don't hold on to anything. Just free your mind. Completely. Then you maintain silent inner awareness. When you are silent without thought, you are already aware. But for those who are already heedless because of the five hindrances of mind and you have not trained your mind, then we need to use some form of skillful means to train our mind, to decondition this heedlessness. So what we do here is, we will do the mind sweeping method. We train our mind to develop this silent awareness, this sweep from the forehead down to our leg. I will give you the instruction. You just make sure you have a relaxed body and mind, silent everything, close your eye, then check your backbone. Make sure it's straight. Then just breathe in, breathe out normally. Relax. Then you maintain awareness, means attentiveness on the forehead. But don't think. You allow the mind to do something by feeling at the forehead. You feel, you don't think, you just feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, just silently relax everything. Feel the forehead soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then after that, you continue to sweep this awareness or attention down to your eye muscle. Your eye muscle, after a tired day, normally is not relaxed. So you feel the ciliary muscle, the eye muscle, the entire eye, you just feel. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress with it, you just relax it, relax and relax and relax, then feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down further to your facial muscle. All of your facial muscle, you feel them and relax, feel them and relax, just feel. And relax it, feel and relax it. If you can relax, you will feel very good. But if you are new, chances are you can't do it. So what we will do is we will combine with loving kindness meditation so that your mind state can be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, can have this type of love and joy. Wholesome mind state to help you relax further. So you can visualize yourself having a radiant smile, radiating a radiant smile. So you visualize yourself, like you look into a mirror and you visualize yourself having a radiant smile. Then you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, you develop this metta, or what they call universal love, to towards your own, what they call visualization. You like from your heart, you radiate that metta. And when you say, may I, this body and mind of mine, you must feel your entire body and mind, your entire being. Then when you recite, be well and happy, well and happy, you must feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cells, within your physical body and your entire mind state. You can do that, you will feel very good. Then when you can radiate that radiant smile and visualize yourself there, you will realize automatically your muscle on your face and your entire body is relaxed. Because when you are happy, when you can smile, there is joy, there is happiness. And when there is joy and happiness, there is no stress. You are in a state of relax. That's why this skillful mean, mind sweeping method combined with metta can help you relax your body and mind and develop this wholesome state of metta. Then you continue to develop wholesomeness further by reciting as follows. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, may there be peace deep within your heart. Feel the love, the joy and the peace deep inside your heart. Then just smile and relax. Then you can repeat this entire metta by recalling to mind your loved one, somebody very close to you, very dear to you. Can be your loved ones, your spouse, your children, your parents, or your good friend, or anybody. Then you radiate the same, you visualize them, radiating a radiant smile. Then from your heart you radiate, may my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness and radiate it to them. From your heart. Then you also continue to wish them, may my loved ones too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be well and happy. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts too. Then you continue to radiate this metta to all beings within this vicinity of Suyana Mifong's house and all Kayanamita. May all beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen, within the vicinity of Suyana Mifong's house, together with all the Kayanamitas, fellow meditators, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and the happiness and radiate to them all. Then you also radiate metta. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they too be free from all the negative tendency of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled always. May they have love, deep within their hearts. May they too have joy and peace deep within their hearts. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Then after that, we can radiate to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Europe, Middle East, and the whole of planet Earth, the solar system, the galaxy, our Milky Way, then the entire universe, may all beings within the entire existence of this universe to be well and happy, well and happy. Radiate this metta to all beings. Then may all beings within this entire existence to be free from all suffering, all physical and mental suffering. May they all to be without enmity, without evil and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be love deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more peaceful, more quiet, and more calm. So you relax every part within body and mind, silence your mind. Then you come back to your facial muscle, feel them. You should be more relaxed by now. Then you move your attention down to your neck, shoulder, relax every part. Hand back to shoulder, relax every part. Then you move it down to your heart or your chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your heartbeat is. This is where the life force arises and passes away. This is also where the seat of consciousness is. So you just silence your mind, relax everything and just feel. If you can detect any vibration or any heartbeat, you just silence your mind and just stay there for a while. For those who are new, who are not able to, it's okay. You just feel like you feel your forehead, feel your heart area. Then just relax, relax, relax and relax. Make sure every part within your heart is relaxed. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, feel, relax again, no thinking. You move it down to the abdomen, feel, relax, no thinking. Then you move it down to your buttock, do the same, relax. Then your leg, relax. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method, the entire cycle from your leg, feel. Relax every part of it. Buttock, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then you sweep it out to your heart. Silence your mind, feel. And relax every part. Back to shoulder, back to neck, hand. Relax every part. Then facial muscle, feel, relax. Eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. Then forehead. By now, your mind should be more peaceful and more quiet, more calm. And this is a mind where you can train to develop the silent mind within. This is the mind where you can anchor it to something, so that it can stabilize the calmness and the peace within through becoming aware of something. Yeah. So for those who have got their own object of meditation, you can use it. Just silence your mind and be aware of it and train your mind, anchor it there so that it is constantly aware. Then allow it to stabilize. For those who don't have any particular object of meditation, or those who are familiar with anapanasati, you can use your breathing as the object of meditation and develop anapanasati as taught by the Buddha. Anapana means in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is actually developing the mindfulness on the in and the out breath. It's very simple. So to do it, you just silent your mind. Then you maintain attention at your nostril area. Just like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. The breath is always there, moving in and out naturally. So you're just silent, aware, and you will detect the breathing. So the moment you detect the breathing, mind and the breath as one, then like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. This training is very important. For those who are really skillful, you continue to develop this anapanasati and it is very stable. Then you silence your mind completely. Then you will go through all the states that was described. So for those who are new, initially when you try to be aware of the breathing, split second, the awareness is gone. You become heedless again. You are lost in thought. It's okay because you have not trained this mind. So the untrained mind is heedless because of the hindrance. So now you try to develop this training. Every time you want to dissolve, patiently bring the attention of the mind back to the breathing. Just feel and repeat the whole process. Allow this awareness to develop. If you are patient, after a while, it will stabilize. Yeah. It is not difficult actually. Easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. But you need to train, be patient. So constantly aware of the in and out breath. If you want this off, bring it back. Want this off, bring it back. Expect this to happen many, many times. But once you have trained, it will stay. And because our breathing is always in the moment, present moment, your awareness, if you can be aware of this breathing, will be in the moment too, without thought. So when you are silent, aware of the breathing without thought, your mind will become very peaceful, very calm. Then there is a type of spiritual joy that they call piti will arise. A type of meditative calmness leading to rapture will arise. So when it happens, you will like to meditate. Then you just silence your mind and continue to allow this anapanasati to take hold. Then you continue to just relax. Then just silence your mind. Then later on, if you want to play with it a bit, you can. Like what the sutta mentioned. Breathing in, experiencing calmness. Breathing out, experiencing calmness. And breathing in, experiencing piti. Breathing out, experiencing piti. Then breathing in, experiencing tranquility or paucity or sukha. Whatever mind state that you experience, you just be aware. Then this anapanasati will develop. Then you will become more and more peaceful, more and more calm. And sometimes this meditation can take you into a deep state of mind. So piti can actually be refined upon to become sukha. Sukha is bliss. So when you experience sukha, it is a very beautiful mind state. But this is not an enlightenment factor. So chances of attachment is there. But don't worry, initially you just experience them. Then understand them. Continue to allow the sukha to arise. Then continue to relax and silence everything. Then you will realize your breathing become more and more subtle, more and more subtle. Initially, it will become long breath. Like every in-breath, you can experience it like a very long in-breath with clarity. That will make you very calm, very peaceful, and that will develop the piti leading to the sukha. But as you go through piti and sukha, the mind becomes more and more subtle, more and more refined, more and more quiet. Then paucity or tranquility of mind or stillness of mind can arise. When that arises, very good, very beautiful, means you have more or less trained your mind. Then you just silence everything, don't do anything. Then wherever you place your mind, you will have that refined mindfulness or higher mindfulness to detect all of the subtle movement and vibration within. That silent mind is very sensitive. Even the subtle breathing is like very clear breathing. Then your rising and falling, if you are doing that, last time you cannot detect, we are so subtle. Now with that type of mind, in paucity, in stillness, silent, you just move your attention there. It will detect the entire movement, the entire phenomena within that abdomen. Then you will understand what sati is. So just relax and allow this meditation to be. Then after that, you silence everything. The silent mind will understand what is going on within your former mind. It will start to experience all of the essential dhamma that the Buddha talked about, especially the dependent origination, the dwelling. Then you will start to see all of the physical and mental phenomena, all of nature's phenomena. Then within the form of meditation too, if you are able to silence your mind, you will experience a lot of tactile consciousness that are very unique, that will allow you to understand the body more and more and more and more. Then you also will develop the wisdom to understand how you are conditioned into hindrance of mind, how hindrance of mind come to be through your wrong view, through your lack of wisdom and understanding while you are doing your meditation. All this, you will develop the understanding. Okay, now I'll let you meditate. Then in about 15 minutes time, I will ring the bell. Then we will start the second session. Okay. others still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Always remember, we are here to train our mind. So whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed or trained, you try to maintain them for as long as you can. So even when you come out of the meditation, you're supposed to maintain this trained mind state so that it can be a part of you, finally. Because the real meditation, like I always explain, has not really started until you have stabilized this mindfulness and use it to cultivate the daily mindfulness, means meditation in life itself. So the mind that is trained is very different. Like I always explain, if you train the mind will listen to you. Means the mind is at your command. You want it to be silent, it will just be silent. You want it to be aware, it will just be aware. Then you want to arise any of the aggregates of mind, you can use it and develop the ability. Then when the awareness or mindfulness is very stable, there is a lot of clarity, very little thinking. But initially, if you use a meditation object to anchor it and stabilize it by anchoring it to that meditation object, then that type of mindfulness is still a conditioned state. It's not a natural mindfulness of your mind, your true mind. Means that mind is not really in sati as yet. That mind is anchored to something, because there is something for it to hold on to. That's why it stay away. But it's not a free mind. So what you need to do is continue to relax and continue to allow this mindfulness to stabilize until it becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very still. We call that pasati, silent mind, still mind. And when that happens, technically, your mind is already in sati. Actually, you don't need any object of meditation anymore. Anywhere you place your mind, it can be aware there. Then when this mind that is being trained has already stabilized, then you will know what it is. Because during that time when you use it to live life, every moment of sense experience, that mindfulness is there. With every moment of consciousness. Even while you are seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought, consciousness, the awareness is there. So it is a different mind. But for that mind to arise, actually, you also need some form of wisdom or understanding. That's why you must read up some Dhamma later on, then reflect and contemplate on it to develop the first turning, second turning wisdom. The three types of corresponding, what they call turning, that develop the three types of corresponding wisdom is very important. The Buddha call it Suttamaya Panya. You look at the whiteboard up there. First turning wisdom correspond to Suttamaya Panya. So this is the wisdom born of the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. So the Buddha turned this Four Noble Truths three times. Under Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, he proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. That proclamation is the first turning. So if through an understanding you develop wisdom from that hearing, then this type of wisdom can arise. He calls it Sutta. Sutta is the discourse of the Buddha. So Sutta Maya Panya. Panya is wisdom. Wisdom born of hearing the Dhamma, or the Sutta spoken by the Buddha. is called Sutamaya Panya. So this is the first turning, wisdom. So if for the first time you listen, and yet it impact upon you and develop some form of understanding, and then you have your past cultivation. That's why you can develop the wisdom born of the first turning, hearing. Nowadays, maybe we are more fortunate. We got written text. We got recording everything. So if you miss the actual talk, you can still read it up or listen to the CD recording and other things. Then the second turning is more important. The Buddha called it Chintamaya Panya. He said, after you have heard his proclamation, if you still cannot understand, then you reflect on the second turning of the Four Noble Truths that he proclaimed again. Under the second turning, he gave particular emphasis on all the Four Noble Truths. The first Noble Truth, which is the Noble Truth of suffering, the Buddha add on this second turning, he said, this Noble Truth of suffering is to be understood. So if you want to develop this type of second turning wisdom, you should reflect and contemplate and inquire deep into what the Buddha said. Like, why did he say this first Noble Truth that talks about the reality of life and existence need to be understood? So when you reflect and contemplate and inquire deep into it, another level of understanding will arise. Another level of wisdom will arise. And this is what he called Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth that he has proclaimed. Then the third turning is all about meditation, Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is the meditative discipline, the meditative training. So he said, if you can develop wisdom born of meditative training, and then there is the third turning, wisdom. And this one lead to awakening. All the third turning, the moment you realize, it leads to enlightenment. The first and second turning will prepare the base for you to receive the truth. Then from any of the first, second or third turning, you can awaken. Then sometimes for those who have cultivated before in the past, first turning itself, they can become enlightened too. Most people need second and third turning. So that is just a brief summary. Then further down, you see there are three Pali words, Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. Pariyatti, these are the three ways to cultivate. The first one is Pariyatti. So Pariyatti, I don't know whether you can read the words or not. It is the learning of the teaching of the Buddha or his doctrine. So Pariyatti is the learning. You develop the understanding and you learn about his teaching. So the learning of the doctrine is Pariyatti. After you have learned, means after you have read up, you have heard about his truth, his proclamation, you have listened to all the Dhamma talk, you attend all of the whatever courses that enable you to learn. So all of your study will be categorized under this training. So they classify it as Pariyatti, the learning of the doctrine. But this one you haven't put it into practice or cultivation yet, understand not? Most of it is theory, okay? Then what you do is, you have to move into second phase, the Buddha said. You cannot just learn about his teaching, because his teaching need to be understood, understand not? And realized. Without the realization, you cannot understand. So you need to put it into practice or cultivation. So Patipatti is the cultivation of the doctrine. This is where you do the three turning. You develop the meditation. You train your mind, develop heedfulness. Then from there, you meditate. Then when you do that, the third phase will arise. It's called Pativeda. Pativeda is the fruition of your cultivation After you have done patipatti, you have completed the training, you have completed that cultivation, then you have realized the Dhamma, and then the fruition of it, the fruit of the cultivation, that is your reward. Then you will understand life, you will know how to live life, then you will have all of the conditions that will enable you to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then for the first time in your life, there is no more suffering, no more problem, no more entanglement. Then everything becomes like very meaningful, very beautiful. Life becomes so beautiful, so meaningful. And you can truly live that type of noble life. So this is what the teaching can bring about. Okay, now we open up for the second session, reporting of meditation. Anybody who wants to report the meditation and ask any question tonight, you can make use of the opportunity. Anybody? Yeah. Yes, can, no problem. You don't mind for the recording. Otherwise, it's very soft. Just push it up.
Yeah, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
My problems in sitting meditations is I always have pain and numbness in my legs. So when this set in, it really affect my concentrations.
Yeah.
During my meditation. So how to overcome?
Okay. Can you briefly describe to me how you develop your meditation when you start just now? How you do it?
Of course, I follow Brother Teo's instructions first. That I do my body sweeping.
Okay. But before that, before the body sweeping, did you develop the ability to relax body and mind?
Yes.
How you relax? How you relax? Oh, okay. You have to describe to me. I know. I try to guide you into your understanding of what happened, because a lot of meditators have the same problem like you. A lot of them complain about pain, numbness, then later on, restlessness of mind, itchiness, and all those things. You try to off the thing, off the thing. You see, like I always said, you come here to meditate, means what? The focus is to train your mind to be aware, to be in a state of relaxed inner peace, so that there can be calmness, there can be tranquility, stillness, and peace of mind. Understand? So we are not here to torture ourselves. Understand? Torture means you do, and the pain come, the numbness come, and like you say, it disturb you because it affects your concentration. So you actually indirectly reporting to me that you are suffering inside there. Not natural, miserable. But if you do with understanding, then it is still meditation. But if you do without understanding, means what? You think people say sit, means you sit, you cannot move. So you actually force yourself to sit through and endure or bear all those misery. That is what I call suffering. And I said, you are here to meditate, not to torture yourself, and that is the meaning. But if you understand what you are doing, then it's very easy. So for your case, I will answer it one more time. Then for the rest, you can also develop the understanding and maybe recall to mind how you can develop the understanding and resolve all this so-called pain, numbness, restlessness of mind, or itchiness once and for all. And I tell you, it is not easy for most people. Even for people who meditate very long, they still find this a problem. Understand? But if you understand, actually, within a short time, you can free from all this. Yeah? That's why meditation is about understanding. I always emphasize this key point. If you do anything in life, either meditation or whatever, you must do with understanding. Do with understanding means you must understand what is it you are doing while sitting here in the name of meditation. So maybe you are a bit new, eh? Because you have not attended enough of the classes, so I will explain to you what is meditation. The Buddha's instruction to the monk before he passed away, he reminded them the same one thing that they must do. He just told the monk, apamadena sampadeta. You know this word? You haven't heard of? Oh, not in Pali. Strive on with heedfulness. Heard before? So he just said, you have to strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless. Do you have that book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha? I gave out one. You don't have, huh? After it, maybe Suyang can pass her a copy, huh? Inside there is written the words of wisdom, huh? Of the Buddha. So we have the Dhammapada verses, important Dhammapada verses, and the final advice of the Buddha before he parinibbana. So under this Dhammapada verse 21 on heedfulness, the Buddha mentioned very clearly, he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. You heard of this saying before, no? What is the meaning? He said, if you are heedful, you will never die. Means what? You are destined for enlightenment. But if you are heedless, means you are not mindful and not cultivating the teaching or the meditation as taught by the Buddha, then you become heedless. If you are heedless, the Buddha very clearly confirmed the heedless are as if dead. Dead means what? Spiritually dead. You don't have any more spiritual life. So that shows the importance of heedfulness, understand, and the danger of heedlessness. That's why he says, strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless. So the heedless are as if dead. No more chance of enlightenment. Means spiritually you are dead. Although you still exist as a human being, conscious of life, but there is no spiritual life. That's why you are as if dead spiritually. So when you understand this, you will reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep. If this is the truth, what must I do? I must follow the advice of the Buddha to strive on with heedfulness. And what is heedfulness? Heedfulness is to develop the training of the mind to be ever mindful, so that this stable mindfulness can be used to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. And when you develop these two, stable mindfulness to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, you have heedfulness. So that is the key to understanding meditation. So when I go to retreat, I go to any place to meditate, or even at home, my focus is just two things. I train my mind to be mindful. Then I develop that training until that mindfulness is very stable. Understand? Then use that trained mind to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to develop wisdom. That is what I'm supposed to do. So when you come to meditation, that's why I say, you come in, you make sure you are relaxed. Relax means what? Relax means no tension, no stress. Understand? So how to be no tension, no stress? Means you don't force yourself into a posture until it's rigidly locked inside there. Understand? Because you have not trained. So the sitting posture is not something that you are used to. Understand? So if once a while you come in and cross your leg, what happens is you look at the ankle, the knee here. Here is the knee. You see the ankle? Very acute. Understand? So your qi will find difficulty in moving. Understand? Flowing. So this is the possible point of blockage. And if you don't know how to relax, that qi will get blocked faster. Understand? And to relax means not only physically, because mentally is also very important. So if mentally you are not relaxed, means you have the hindrance. Understand? You got problem. That's why you are not peaceful. You cannot radiate a radiant smile. When you can radiate a radiant smile, means what? You have joy, you have happiness. That's why you are happy. Then you are relaxed. But you look around. Unless those who can meditate and have the wisdom, most of them are unhappy, you realize or not? Because they have certain things troubling them. So when you come here to meditate, that's why the Buddha said the first thing we need to have is the five precepts. The five precepts is actually to protect you. You have to keep this precept, because people who violate this precept will have a lot of this restlessness hindrance. Understand? What happens when you violate those precepts? Like first precept, if you kill and harm people. Second precept, you cheat, deceive and steal. Third precept was commit sexual misconduct. You're scared of your spouse coming to know. The fourth precept, telling lie and all those things. Why? Because you want to conceal a fact. Understand? You also have some secret that you scared people come to know. Of course, fifth precept, we can leave it out for the time being because it concerns intoxicant drugs that will make your consciousness low, then you violate all the first four precepts. So the first four precepts, if you violate, it will lead to a lot of fear. Understand? Worry and anxiety. Because when you kill and harm, you scared people take revenge. Understand? You scared people come to know. The other precept also says. So whenever your mind has this fear, worry, anxiety, it's restless. Understand? Then when you don't have wisdom, there is so much thing in life that can create problem and suffering to the human being. Like the first noble truth reality that the Buddha talked about. Birth, old age, sickness and death. So especially old age, as you get old, your body start to fail you. Then you start to develop a lot of sickness, disease. Then rheumatism and other things. Then all the, what they call, organ that used to work very well now, not so efficient anymore. So you will have a lot of this health problem related to old age coming in and haunt you. Then when you are troubled with critical or what they call traumatic type of diseases, like nowadays very common, cancer, kidney failure, heart attack, stroke and all those things. There is so much fear, so much worry and so much anxiety. They call it health problem. Then when you go through life, you have to work. They have career problem. Then you need to maintain relationship. They have relationship problem. So all this can actually make living being miserable. Then when you have children, you worry about your children, their marriage, their future and all those things. Then you worry about your wealth, your property, your money, your investment and all those things. So there are so many things that can lead to this type of restlessness of mind, worry, fear, anxiety. So if you want to meditate and your mind has all this, you cannot relax and cannot become peaceful. So that's why you need to train. That's why the mind sweeping method, like you say, you follow the instruction. Most people tell me the same thing, they follow, but they don't know how to do. And you do it most of the time when you are new. You cannot get the deep meaning, you cannot do it correctly. And most of them find it like, initially, maybe first time, if they have a lot of faith, then they feel very good. But after a while, it's like, good food, nothing special already, then it like doesn't work anymore. Yeah. But if you have the faith, like the Buddha said, develop the spiritual faculty. You just have to develop this five. And the hindrance disappear by itself. That's why when you come to meditate, you must keep the five precepts to prevent the restlessness from haunting you. Understand? The problem of violation of precept, because this will bring about negative karma, condition for you to get into trouble. And when you get into trouble, you got no peace. So very difficult to meditate. Then, if you don't develop the spiritual faculty, the hindrance will be very powerful. You cannot overcome. That's why you find it very difficult to meditate. So, key thing to understanding meditation is, you have to do the Buddha Puja, the one pre, post, and all those things. You have to do. Where this will develop the spiritual faculty. Then this will remind you to keep the precept. Manasana. That's why there is a deep meaning and purpose of doing all this puja. Then not only that, it's very meritorious when you pay respect to the Buddha. The field of merit is very high. When you keep your precept, it's a meritorious action to Anasana. Then when you radiate love and metta, it's a type of generosity, dana. So it is again a meritorious action. Then when you rejoice, yeah, it is a meritorious action. Then when you listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, it's a meritorious action. Then later on the closing puja, you transfer merit, share merits. You make aspiration. Then you help out and provide service to the community, Buddhist community and the Buddhist Kayanamita grouping. All these are the 10 meritorious actions that you unknowingly have already cultivated. And these merits, if you invoke the power of aspiration, like what the Buddha taught you, you chant Ipmina Punyang Kamina, Mami Bala Samagamo, Satang Samagamo, Hotu, Yao Nibbana Patiya. You make aspiration through the power of this wholesomeness and merits that you have cultivated. You aspire for causes and conditions for you to always avoid the foolish and the heedless. Meet up with the wise and enlightened, so that enlightenment in the here and now, Nibbana, can be realized soon as possible. You make this type of aspiration and you seriously train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty and you keep your five precepts, your meditation will progress very fast. Then you will understand the teaching very fast. But without the spiritual faculty, the Dhamma cannot go in, I tell you, because the hindrance is there. So once the spiritual faculty develops, the hindrance disappears, all of the Dhamma you can receive because the Satta, Virya and the Sati will bring forth the condition for you to understand all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. So this is the theory part, like Pariyati. Pariyati means learning of the doctrine. Now we talk about meditation. Concerning your question. So meditation means, I said, you must do with understanding. Means what? When you come here, you know, your main focus is to train your mind to be in a state of silent inner awareness so that this mindfulness can be developed and stabilized. Okay? Then maintain this state. Bring it back to your daily life so that you can use that trained mind that is in sati to cultivate noble eightfold path. Means with the right view, with the right understanding of the teaching, the three important right view, law of karma, law of the mind, and dhamma. You develop the appropriate noble eightfold path factor of right thought leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And when you start to do that, your life changes. You will see a great turn of event concerning your life, like you become more lucky, more fortunate. Your life become like very much more pleasant. It turn around for the better and all that. So all this will be possible. But more important is, the moment you cultivate all this, keep your precept, develop the five spiritual faculty, then when you come here and meditate, you realize the moment you sit, you enter samadhi very fast. Because when you are already full of faith and the virya very strong, you can become mindful very easily. Even your bowing can make you mindful. Your walking can make you mindful. And throughout the day, you just need to be aware and you can be mindful. So meditation here is, if you don't have all those hindrances hindering you, technically you don't have to do mind sweeping method. You don't have to train your mind. You don't have to do anapanasati. You just silence your mind and maintain awareness. You will be mindful straight away. Because I did it before. I didn't really train. I already knew anapanasati a long time ago. But later on, I released it and come out of it because I want to develop daily mindfulness. Then I realized when I do my religious routine constantly, when my spiritual faculty are very strong, I can just sit and I was silent straight away. I don't need to train or to do anything. I just relax. Then I found out for myself that this mind that is relaxed and aware, all of this pain doesn't affect me anymore. The numbness, the itchiness is because there is this qi that cannot flow. Understand not? Don't have. Last time, yes. Early day. Because I don't know how to relax. And I don't know what is relax. But nobody taught me. You know what is relax? You know? I don't think you know. When you are very tired, when you exercise until you like no more strength, what happens? That is the real relax. Can you be in that state? You are impossible because you are not tired. And inside, a lot of stress because throughout the day, you are most of the time heedless. And when you are heedless, your mind state is a lot of hindrance. So if the mind is stressful, the body cannot be relaxed. Understand? That's why your facial muscles are very tense. You realize a lot of parts very tense, like stressed out. Then it makes you impatient. All of this bad character come from the lack of peace. Very stressful. So because of that, human beings, most of them are not relaxed. That's why a lot of people tell me they got this high pressure job, high stress job. You know what they do or not? Every weekend, they must go and run or go and exercise until they're very tired. Otherwise, they cannot sleep. You heard of this one? A lot of people tell me. It's not because they want to exercise. Otherwise, they cannot sleep. So, they need to stress themselves up, exercise until so tired. Then, the mind totally no more mental energy to like become restless. And then, the mind settle down because too tired to become restless. But when you come here and you are not totally relaxed, means you must find out why are you not relaxed. So you check. That's why I use the skillful mean. Radiate a radiant smile facing a mirror. And when you can smile, means what? There is joy. The moment you can smile, you don't believe you go back and do it. Do it, really do it at home. When you really read it, the radiance on, you find that you are so happy, full of joy, and very relaxed. Understand? And then all the tension just go off by itself. Understand? When you are happy, you experience before, when things go your way. When you got promotion, you get rewarded. When your kid do very well, you got good news coming. You're so happy, isn't it? You are so light and so happy and so relaxed. Isn't it? But when you have problem, what happened? Very moody. Not relaxed at all. Very sad. And during that time, all this stress up. Then meditation is a window for you to rewind. Recharge, sorry, not rewind. Unwind, recharge. And this is free. You go to what they call massage or facial, you need to pay. They massage you, you also become relaxed. You don't have to do anything. You just relax there and let them do everything. Then you like fall asleep. Then you snore. But here, if you know how to meditate, you can also snore. But you must have awareness inside. You can be so relaxed until the whole body and mind is entirely free of stress inside. And when you can do that, you can sit for hours and hours, no problem. All this stress, all this numbness will not build up. The other thing I need to teach you is the three-point tripod. Your buttock is 1 point, 2 point in front, because you are not on full lotus. So most of us are not on full lotus. No problem. This point, and the back. You have to balance asana. If you find it is like pressing against too hard, then there is numbness in front. Then you lean back a bit. So that most of the weight is transferred to your buttock. Then if your buttock too painful after a long time numb, then you lean in front a bit. Then you transfer some weight to your front tripod. This is just skillful means. But later on, when you are skillful, no need to do any of this. You know how to meditate straight away because you are naturally relaxed. So it comes from training. Then meditation is not about posture. Always remember that. You can do it in any posture. As long as you are relaxed and you can maintain a formal posture to train the mind, use it. You can even stretch your leg out, lean against a wall, or in whatever posture, or sit on a chair, on a stool, or a couch. As long as you don't doze off, maintain attentiveness, awareness, silent, relax, and then train your mind. That posture will suit you. So you don't have to cross your leg, you don't have to force yourself in certain posture that you are not comfortable with. You have to determine and investigate and find out what is best for you. Then learn to relax. Whenever there is pain or any of these things, always remember, learn to relax first. Then you see how it goes. Then never label it. The moment you label it as pain, what happens? You look at the hindrance of mind. Sensual desire and ill will. Pain is an aversion. You don't like that sensation, that feeling. So you have a mind that dislikes this feeling. You call it unpleasant. So actually it has become a hindrance, a ill will. What is a hindrance? Prevents your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why you say, it is disturbing you, disturbing your concentration until you cannot meditate. It's because you label it and your mind has ill will towards it. So when the hindrance is there, it will hinder you. That's why you cannot meditate. You can only go through and break free from this through the spiritual faculty. You must develop your faith, your virya. When your faith and virya is very strong, you actually forget about those feelings. Because that faith, then that virya will drive you to train your mind to be peaceful. Then when you are peaceful, all this doesn't disturb you. Then later on, as you become mindful, it's more magical. Because mindfulness is so powerful. The moment you are aware and mindful, it will free your energy. All this chi will start to flow. Because you have awareness. Awareness means what? Your mind is silent, without thought. When it's without thought, there is no wrong thought, negative thought, that will stir the emotion. The what they call negative state, mind state. So because of that, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, sadness, everything disappears. There is no thought. No thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sadness, no negative energy field. That's why the moment you are mindful, you are very peaceful, you are very relaxed. Then when pity come in, spiritual calmness, spiritual joy come in through anapanasati or whatever meditative training that you have done, or the silent mind, you feel so peaceful, so calm, and the whole thing like charge up. Then like you like to meditate. Like Engby say, the bell ring, is it too early? He wants to extend it. So it's a complete reverse from those who don't understand. You see the point. So meditation is about understanding what you do. Then you will be able to do it correctly and do it very well. So go back, read up a bit, develop the puja, maintain the precept, then try to develop the understanding of the basic Dhamma. You have to read up a little bit on the Four Noble Truths. You can get a copy of the free distribution. The Buddha's Ancient Path, the orange copy up there. You have a copy? Don't have. Lily, get a copy for her. The orange copy. Yes. Slowly read through. It will help you. So these are the Four Noble Truths. Everything is there. The Buddha's Ancient Path. So after that, Suyan will give you the other notes. You slowly read through and develop the understanding. Then do some meditation at home. Then you have done. Very good. So now you do with understanding. No, because you don't do with understanding. That's why you have to bear this. I already told them, you can do meditation. You say 10 years, 20 years, no difference. Because it's 10 times 1 repeated, no change. But when you do with understanding, sometimes a few weeks, tremendous result and improvement. Because the moment you understand meditation, you do very fast. So, but if you don't understand, you can get stuck for very long. How many of you play this Rubik's Cube last time? Or nowadays, Candy Crunch? If you don't understand, you can get stuck at that level for very long. But you understand, like those who are very good. I got one niece, reached 400 over already level. It's very easy. Because they understand. And my wife also 300 something already level. So if you don't understand, you get stuck. So everything is about understanding. That's why it varies. Okay, I better answer these two questions. Otherwise, I don't have the time. Okay, the first one is, you listen. He said, was meditate in Ajahn Brahm retreat last week in Jin Sui Temple. I think she is a participant there. When the moment metta transferred to 38 victims of Genting near Jin Sui, tears kept falling uncontrolled. First time I encountered this was so embarrassing. Yogi next to me noticed this. I just lose control. Why? It's the person who asked the question here. Oh, very good. Okay, you see, this is something that happened to a lot of people before. But it can happen in many ways. For her case, is because it's the first time and it's at that retreat. How many days was it, the retreat? 3 days. On the last day? Yes. So, second last day. You see, all these tears, it just flow. And it just come out like that. And it's like, they say rain. It rain. It just rain like that, come down. And you cannot control. And the people also doesn't know what is going on. They just have these tears. Then sometimes they cry. Understand? But it's not sadness. Understand? So, like what she described is a, the moment they transfer this merit to the 38 victim of the earlier on bus crash, the accident, tears keep flowing or falling uncontrolled. So according to her first time encounter this, there is nothing to be embarrassed about, because it's quite common if you are in the spiritual field. We have a lot of Kayanamita, they have this experience, but they happen under different circumstances, understand? A lot of them who follow me to Thailand, China, and other spiritual trip, it always happen. And sometimes when they come for meditation and retreat, it just happen. Then different people, different phenomena and different condition. So for her, this particular case, because it's the first time, the heart, normally your heart, your nature, must have felt something connected to the condition there. Understand? So when it happened, your conscious mind doesn't know. Understand? But that nature inside know. That's why it like trigger off. Then all this is like hormone. Understand? It just trigger off. Then the tears, everything will come down. Then sometimes other phenomena may happen. It depends. Like in many cases, they go to certain places. Then once they reach that place, when they enter the vihara or the temple, the way place, all of a sudden they just cry and cry and cry and cry. Especially those who have affinity with Kuan Yin, affinity with the great Bodhisattva, like Manjushri, then Pusien, Di Zhang Wang Pusa, and others. Then sometimes with certain monks also, at certain way place, those that went to Thailand too, many of them, the tears just flow non-stop. So for her case is, when they relate this metta and transfer this merit, so the mind that has this calmness after a period of retreat and silence can have this condition to experience all these things. So sometimes when this type of tears come, you have to check inside. You can find out the answer actually. It depends, because there can be many form of possibility. Because I got one Kayanamita who told me when we were in Thailand, there was a monastery, I think Long Po Tong Bai. Long Po Tong Bai, you heard of him? He came before, I think, recently. Quite elderly monk from Thailand. Long Po Thon, sorry, not Tong Bai. Long Po Thon, Long Po Thon, sorry. Excuse me. So, that one, when she was there, first time there, and she was quite new to the Dhamma, all of a sudden just cry. Very strong. And that day Long Po Thon was not around some more. Then I saw, then I went and asked. Then we were about to offer to the Sangha some what they call donation. Then all of a sudden he said, you want to donate 4,000 baht. Then I look at her and I went and asked, what happened? I said, what makes you do that? You know what was the answer? Don't know. Good, very good answer. Because inside the nature know, and she don't know. That is the basic. It just happened. And she just want to do it. No money some more. Borrow from Suyan. That's what she did. Then after that, there was so much joy. Then later on, she recalled. Then she like have this feeling inside the nature. Like the parent were around there. The parent passed away. And the parent full of joy wants to make that type of offering. And the nature know like she was there before. That's why she very likely, I say, last time monk there before. That's why we call her Wo Xiong Zai. And all those nicknames. So all this can happen. Then when you are at certain places, especially spiritual place, you can feel, you can detect. When I was in Australia, it was the same. There was one incident. Normally, it doesn't happen to me because this type of thing, I have actually developed those cultivation long time ago, and this life, it doesn't happen to me anymore. But there was one incident, 1990, when I was in Australia. You know what happened? When my teacher, that Thai monk, Ajahn, he was giving a sermon. Then he talked about this Bodhisattva Sakyamuni, one of this life. He was a very poor, I think, one of the worker worked in a, what they call, I don't think they call it a factory. It's a place where they work. They got only one needle to help to sew things and all the thing. Then during that time, all of a sudden they heard the news that there is a Buddha coming to that place. So one group of very poor workers decided to organize. Then this Sakyamuni Bodhisattva to be at that time, he was really poor. He got nothing to offer. He was very sad. He know it's a very great occasion, and yet he got nothing to offer. Then you know what he did or not? Finally, he decided to donate even that needle that's supposed to be his livelihood as offering to that Sammasambuddha that arrived. And the moment he did that, he has so much joy, you know. So when I heard about this story, all of a sudden, deep inside my heart, that tears just flow out. Just come out like that. Like telling me, only a Buddha to be can do that. Understand? Because it's so poor, the condition was so poor. Just like during the time of the Buddha, there was one couple. They share sarong, I remember. The wife and the husband share sarong. If the wife go and listen to the Buddha, the wife cannot come because only one sarong. Then if the wife go, the husband cannot come. Then the husband, after hearing that sermon on dana, donation in general, he was contemplating to donate the sarong. And you know what he did? Finally he donated. And he was naked. And the wife was no sarong. And the king come to know. And he was rewarded tremendously. That's why the mind can fight. Because the mind is the thought. The thought cannot understand. The nature can understand. So all this type of thing can happen. So when you go to a quiet place, when you have the faith, when the spiritual faculty is there, this type of phenomena can arise. But if you silent your mind, just aware, you will know. Then sometimes it comes to you through a sixth sense. Then sometimes it's through your inner nature telling you. Then sometimes they come in a subconscious dream state. And you will come to know. Okay. I think that is the only question. The next one is retreat versus daily life. Conclusion after practice 5 precepts in recent retreat. We accept and practice 5 precepts during our normal life. And this is a life commitment, not just a retreat. Why we need to attend retreat to practice 5 precepts? What is your actual question? If I don't get you wrong, I hope I'm right. You say conclusion after practicing 5 precepts in the retreat means you think only in the retreat you practice 5 precepts. Out of the retreat, no need. Or not like that? It's not practice. You see, the precept is laid down by the Buddha out of love and compassion for us all, so that we can avoid all evil, understand? Because precept is like that. Panatipata viramane sikha padang samadhiyami. means what? We undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. And this is mindfulness training. Understand? That's why you undertake the training rule with you must be ever mindful of this precept so that you won't violate or break this precept. Means what? You have to maintain vigilance or mindfulness so that you won't, like last time, before you seriously commit to the precept, you just peck the mosquito, understand? Because you find it irritating, and we are so used to it, because in the younger day, we just using the two hands to smash the thing like anything. Then some people very angry, they go and use the one where you can hit the mosquito. And sometimes they look for more things, they just spray and all those things. So when you are mindful, when you undertake that training rule, means you develop mindfulness not to kill. Means even the intention to kill, you must be aware. Understand? Then if let's say you miss the intention to kill, what happened? That aversion, that condition your intention to kill, also you cannot see, you're not mindful. So the anger condition you to have the intention to kill. Then what happened? In order to kill, you must move your hand in there. You must act out in there. So if you got kaya nupasana, the moment your hand move, you are aware in there. Then you ask yourself, what is this fellow doing? If like that also you cannot be aware, the moment you act out of it, the mosquito has to be there for you to kill. No? So do you know how difficult is it to break that precept? No? So precept is not something so difficult. No? It's a training rule. It actually supports your cultivation. You know. No? Then the Buddha's intention is very good, because who are the one who violate this precept, break this precept? Take for example first precept. Who kill and who harm? Who? An angry person, yeah. A deluded person, yeah. A selfish person, yeah. All these are evil root, yeah. Greed, hatred, and delusion, yeah. That's why people who break and violate this precept, they are evil people. And what is evil people? People with evil roots. Evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. They are called evil root because they are the root of all evil action, speech, and thought process. Understand? That's why when the evil root is there, when you are selfish, when you are greedy, when you are lustful, possessive, emotional, you will become evil. That's why people who are very emotional, angry, and violent, they are evil people. Understand? Then when you act out of fear, you are deluded. Understand? So greed, hatred, and delusion, they are called evil root, is because they are the root of all evil action, speech, and thought. You must not have them in your heart. Understand? The moment you have them in your heart, you will break the precept. Then when you break the precept, what happens? You are born of your precept. You are born of your karma. Head to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So what happened to you? The moment you break your precept, you commit evil karma. And these are the conditions that will condition you into suffering and misery. So cultivating precept, you are not just doing in the retreat alone. In the retreat, you renew the five precepts, because these are puja that constantly remind you of this precept. And when you renew them, means you take it seriously. Understand? Then at home, you also supposed to renew. Understand? That's why you got your morning before you sleep, when you wake up, and in between. And don't only do it on Sunday. Otherwise, you are not serious. Understand? Then, when you have this religious routine, your spiritual faculty can develop very fast if you follow the puja or devotional practices that the Buddha has prescribed or advised. So that's why The real cultivation is just to do the puja, and the spiritual faculty will come to you, and your meditative training will actually flow. Then finally, when you do all this puja, the spiritual faculty will develop until sati. Once sati or mindfulness is developed, your real meditation will come. Then you will understand a lot of his teaching very fast. That's why you progress very fast. And that was what happened to me during the early day. That's why now I can tell you all this. Actually, book never write about this. They mention about this teaching, but they didn't explain to you and how to link them and how to cultivate them and how to understand, develop the understanding of them. Nobody really write. And that's why a lot of people now start to understand. These are the essential teaching that I constantly try to drum into you so that you pay attention to them. Because a lot of people thought, hey, I know three evil root, dana, sila, bhavana, five hindrance, five spiritual faculty. They can even close the book and rattle it out for you. But do they understand? That is the big difference. But the moment you understand, you don't have to remember. It's all in your heart. Understand? And every day you do one. Especially sadha, virya, and sati, leading to samadhi and wisdom. And this five thing is always with you. Then maybe the five hindrance, you can forget about it, because after a long time when they don't come and disturb you, sometimes you may not have any memory of what they are. But because I teach, I share, I need to recall them. So that's why. But actually after sharing, no need to recall already. We every day talk, same thing. It's like you teach maths, and those teachers, they know. When you teach the same thing over and over and over, you become very conversant, skillful. Okay, 10:30, we just finish. So if you got any other question, next class you can write down your question too. Okay, we will do the. Oh, okay. Oh, she has completed her first chemo. Oh, 7 chemo. Yeah, oh, today is day 7,
Yeah, day 7.
Chemo.
She's going through a lot of suffering now.
She got pain, vomit, and purging, But she is how old? 11 years old.
Yes.
That's why actually before they go for chemo, you need her to understand what she is going through. I don't know whether they have arranged for that or not. Because in Malaysia, I came to know not all the hospitals really do that. Because chemo is something you need to understand what you are going through. It's actually not easy, you know. It affects the patient mentally very severely, because it can trigger off a lot of hormone changes and mental suffering, leading to depression, pain, then a lot of what they call side effects, vomiting, purging, and all those things. Then your immune system becomes very weak. Then there are a lot of things you actually need to avoid, even contact with people. Then your hair will drop and all those things. Then it also depends on what type of chemo drug they give to you. Sometimes they also try. And the first one or two normally doesn't really fit in well. Then they need to adjust the drug and dosage and all those things. So all this, they need to actually understand. Otherwise the victim will suffer a lot. So when you want to do any of this, don't be in a rush. Find out more. Then talk to the doctor. Talk to the oncologist. Then there are people who are expert in counseling and giving advice and all those things. Then also check your options and all those things. But this lady is very young, Elaine Tan. So, okay, we will still try our best to help in whatever way possible. Yeah? We will invoke the power of merits to help her. Okay, let us all recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the last 2 hours. Like I described just now, the 10 meritorious actions that we have all cultivated. Most of us have already developed the precepts, the reverential salutation, the spiritual faculty. Then we have listened to the Dhamma, straightened our view. We have rejoiced. Then we have developed all of the wholesomeness from the sharing. Yeah. So by the power of this wholesomeness, we first rejoice. Eh? We recite sadhu 3 times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So by the power of this wholesomeness and rejoicing, may it arise. The causes and conditions for Elaine Tan, our 11-year-old small girl who has undergone chemotherapy at UH, to recover from whatever side effect, chemo, pain, vomiting, purging, etc., so that she can have better health, so that she can recover from her suffering, so that she can have good mental states to pull through all this chemotherapy dosage or the chemotherapy administrated courses. If I'm not wrong, it is going to be 6 cycles, 6 or 7 cycles. Yeah, and it's not easy. So let us invoke the power of these merits so that it will arise the causes and conditions to help her in whatever way possible so that she can have a good recovery. Yeah? Because she is actually down with leukemia, advanced leukemia. So it's not something that is easy. Yeah? But since there is a fighting chance and there is condition, we shall invoke the power of merits to help her in whatever way possible. So may she has the causes and condition to recover from whatever sickness or disease that she is undergoing. Then may her mind state be peaceful. May she develop the strength to endure and to actually make the breakthrough to enable her to recover so that she can be with her parents and loved ones after the treatment. Okay, with this, we will maybe have a minute or two of silent metta meditation. We radiate metta to her. I will just show you the photo. So you just radiate to Elaine Tan, wishing her well-being and happiness. I will ring the bell after about 1 to 2 minutes. Thank you so much for helping Elaine. Now you will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca pamata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca mehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merit to departed ones and all those who can receive them. Idang minya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang minya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang minya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merit accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.
Just a reminder that the lunch is this Sunday, so for